Good morning once again. And one of the hardest parts, and I don't know if y'all realize this or not, but it's for the regular preacher to stand up after the visiting preacher. After he did such a wonderful job, I was trying to get somebody else to fill in, give me a little bit more encouragement to, you know, to get up here and try to follow him. Wonderful job that he did, and you're stuck with me this morning, so because nobody else took me in my offers, BB or Michael or Nathan, anybody. So this morning we're going to talk about a different spirit. This is one of those that I like to remind myself of on occasion, going back to the Old Testament, of course, of Numbers 13 and 14, and we all need this reminder that we need to have a different spirit. Many people have their ideas of what it means to have a different spirit. But how often do we forget that when we have been put on the body of Christ, that we have really become different? That we're told that we are peculiar in more ways than one. The Scriptures tell us in the book of Peter that we are a chosen generation. It goes on to say a holy nation, and then he says a peculiar people, called out of darkness into his marvelous light, because we make decisions that others would not when it comes down to certain our life choices and such. And so we're going to look at, of course, if you already know that Numbers 13 and 14, where this terminology comes from, a different spirit, it's Caleb, who was a man that was favored by God. And it wasn't just because he was born that way or he inherited favor in some type of way, as many people even today believe, as faith goes through inheritance or something. Inherited faith. It's not true. We want to look at some lessons from the life of Caleb that will help us to be more dedicated in our life. Caleb, as we remember, was one of 12 spies from the tribe of Judah. Now, he was sent from the wilderness of Paran. Do you remember how many gave a discouraging report out of that 12? 10, remember? 10 gave a discouraging report about the land. Remember, they're supposed to take this land. Numbers 13, now notice we're going to look at a few verses here. It's a familiar account to us all. Numbers 13, notice in verse 30 and 31. That Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to do what? Overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw the giants, the descendants of Anak, who came from the giants, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight." You know, when you think about the report that was given there, Caleb spoke out against the flow of negative reports. Yes, he was peculiar. He was different because he did that. Notice chapter 14 and verses 6 through 10 now. "But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, who were among those who had spied out the land," once again, that's what I'm out of the 12 there, "tore their clothes, and they spoke to all the congregation and of the children of Israel, saying, 'The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land, if the Lord delights in us.'" Now I want you to remember that as we go through this study. If the Lord delights in us, okay, "then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." And all the congregation said to stone them with what? Stones. Now the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of meeting before all the children of Israel. That's some serious opposition. Have we ever faced that kind of opposition? Where if somebody says, we're going to stone you with stones, well, probably not, right? I don't think any of us can say that we've actually run up across that. We've had opposition in other ways, though, in this world. People mock us for being, you know, once again, that word peculiar. I'll be the first one to agree. Chris is probably telling everybody over there at Eastside this morning, that DJ is a peculiar fellow. You know, he's different. Wiry, as he likes to call it. But, you know, as Israel refuses to enter the land of Canaan, because if we were there, who are we going to side with? The 10 or the 2? Which one will we side with? So, well, I wasn't there. But then you have this individual here who's listed in verse 24. Now, go to verse 24. Now, we'll skip on down. We'll pick up. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit in him. Different spirit in him. And has followed me fully. I will bring into the land where he went, and his descendants shall inherit it. God performed some things. He said to Moses there in verse 11, how long will these people reject me? He had some questions there, didn't he? He was trying to get these people on the right track. The Israelites took the majority report and were punished with 40 years of wandering the wilderness. You remember that. But the man Caleb had an outstanding life and many things worthy for us to note and apply. I love to go and read this one over and over because it's so important to in application reasons every day. Caleb wholly followed the Lord in Numbers 14, verse 24. What made him different? Why is he reported to have a different spirit? One of those things that's listed in verse 24 is that he wholly followed the Lord. You know, Joshua chapter 14 and verse 8 says, nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. You know, that's a fine thing to be able to look back and say, I did the right thing. Can I actually say that as I just turned 29 years of age this past January, that I'm able to look back on my life of 29 years and say that I am doing the right thing? And if I can affirm that I am doing the right thing according to the Scriptures, if I can look to it and say, okay, the gospel is guiding me. I'm looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of my salvation, my faith. You know what? The next question I have to ask is, how well am I doing the right thing? How well am I doing it? Am I truly, wholly following the Lord every day? You know, we have to ask ourselves, am I doing the right thing? You know, and it's amazing that they were able to look back and say, I did the right thing. I'm not ashamed of what I did on that occasion 45 years ago. That I stood up, that I was... You had Joshua and Caleb, remember there? They were the two that stood up against the majority. You had these people that were going to stone them to death. Can we, like Caleb, say, I wholly followed the Lord? Paul said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7. When he was coming to the very end of his life, this is his report. That's amazing. And yet, Paul remembered surely of what Jesus said. John 17 and verse 4, I have finished the work which you have given me to do. Who's he talking to? He's talking to his Father. I have finished the work that you've given me to do. Paul is saying the same thing. I fought that fight, the good one. I finished my course. But you know what he says in verse 8? It's very interesting. He doesn't just seclude to himself that, you know, he was... I'm it. But he said, there's a crown of righteousness, not for me only, but for all those who do what? Love his appearance. Talking about Christ and wholly following the Lord. Does this mean, though, that Caleb was faultless? Did Caleb have problems in his own life? Well, of course he did, just like every individual on the face of this earth. He was not saying that he never made a mistake or he never blundered. He was simply saying that he gave the Lord his best. And that's what the Lord wants, what we can give Him of our abilities. He did not give half-hearted service like the other 10 spies. We should give the Lord our best service. Many so-called Christians do not give the Lord their best. Don't give the Lord their best. They're committed, if it does not cost me too much. Chris talked about that last week. You know, if it doesn't cost me too much, I'll be able to do this or I'll be able to do that. You know, you think about all the things that we can do throughout the week to encourage someone, to edify someone, to simply try to get someone to come to services. You know, and that's one of the designs of the bulletins. Now, I don't have to do a bulletin every week. That's not mandated here or anything. But I like to do it because that's one of those things that we can fold up. We can throw a piece of tape around at the end. All you got to do is put the address on there and put a stamp on it. And guess what? You're ready to mail to someone. Put a little note on the top and say, hey, that's just another way that we can reach out to someone and let them know what's going on. To read up on some things. How much does it cost me? A 44-cent stamp? I don't know if they're going up or not. But really, how much does it cost me to be able to hand those things out? To tell someone, send someone a message, to send a card, to, you know, call someone, whatever it is, time, money, whatever it is. That we are wholly following the Lord. Whatever you do, do it heartily. There's some real meaning to that, isn't it? Do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men. Colossians 3 and verse 23. Do it with your heart. Now, Solomon had that thought there as well in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. Right? For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. While you have this time on this earth, in the mindset of Joshua and Caleb, here we are talking about them again, they were going to do it with all of their might. Caleb wholly followed the Lord, just as we must. Are we doing the commandments of the Lord with all our heart? Are we doing it heartily? In our hands, what we find to do on a daily basis for the Lord, are we doing it with all our might? Because we got to fulfill it. We want to be able to say like that of Paul, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Let's also talk about the strong convictions that Caleb had. You knew this one was coming. That here it is in Numbers chapter 14 verse 24. Once again, he had another spirit, a different spirit, that he followed him fully, that it says there. My servant, Caleb, servant, because he had another spirit with him, he hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Okay, I want you to think about that verse again. That's really our main area of text when we get this lesson. He had strong convictions. He gave a minority report along with Joshua. He didn't straddle the fence. He's not saying, well, you know, here's the possibility. Let's do a ratio here and such. He was not afraid to stand up for what was right. You know, we today need people of like convictions. Not just because, once again, we say convenient for us, but because we're convicted. We need people of that sort. Some people are afraid to confront the issues which face the church. Don't want to talk to nobody about it. How far am I going to get? Chris hit on that a lot last week as well. Straddling the fence and never decide, really, you know, is it right or is it wrong? 2 Timothy 3 and verse 7, ever learning, but not able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Paul talked to Timothy that this is it. This is what people are doing. They're ever learning, but not able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Elijah, in the days of old, 1 Kings 18, verse 21, how long go ye limping between the two sides? If Jehovah be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. You remember that he was had that challenge he had for the Baal worshippers. And there they are. Remember, they're cutting. They're cutting each other. They're cutting themselves. Amazing. Because they're wanting their God to win. Their God wasn't doing anything. I think that question still echoes today in 2011. How long go ye limping between the two sides? And I'm not talking about just people in general of the world. I'm talking about Christians, even. Disciples of Christ. Can be said that Caleb was a man of convictions who took a stand like that of Elijah, like that of Paul, like that of Timothy. What about me? Remember that. Could my name be inserted there? But my servant, enter your name there, okay, as we read along, because he or she had another spirit with him or her and hath followed me fully. Him or her will I bring into the land whereinto he or she went, and his seed shall possess it. I want you to think about it. That in the sense of heaven, is there a land for us to possess? Is there a land, a different land, other than what we abide on this earth that we want to possess? Absolutely. Are we searching for that land? Do we have a good report of that land? Do we believe in that land? We tell everybody, we want you to go with us. But am I living with the convictions that God wants me to live, to take those people with me in that land? Because we have that different spirit, because we're following Him fully. God wants to bring us into that land. Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. Do we believe that in John 14? We need strong convictions to go along with that. Strong convictions. Let's also talk about that Caleb was not lukewarm. We talked about that a little bit in that last point. He was not straddling the fence, but Revelation chapter 3 even has a congregation there. We remember that it was the church at Laodicea that's mentioned there in Revelation chapter 3. If you'll turn there, notice verses 14 through 16 of Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. And this is a familiar one to us as well. Talking about the lukewarm church. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write. Now notice this. These things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Verse 15. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. You know, that's not a very pretty picture that's being drawn there, obviously, is it? It's not something we like to have in our mental imagery. But the fact was that Laodicea is being noted as being lukewarm. That they were neither cold nor hot. Sometimes God is said to be grieved or angered, but here He is disgusted because He says, I will do what? We say, well, that's gross. I will vomit you out of my mouth. I hope that we can't plug ourselves into that category. I hope that we can't say, well, here we are. Are we lukewarm? Is God saying that, you know, you're neither cold nor hot? I will spew you out of my mouth. Is He disgusted? Am I lukewarm to Him? I'll submit to you that a lukewarm man is satisfied with half-hearted service, partial obedience. That's a lukewarm person. They're just satisfied with, you know, mediocre, you know. Lukewarmness, I'm going to submit, never built an ark like Noah. Okay? Nope. Never did. Lukewarmness would never have laid a son on the altar like Abraham. Never would have happened. Lukewarmness could not have led the children of Israel out of Egypt like Moses did. Would have never happened. Lukewarmness could not have given a favorable report while 10 others did not, like Caleb and Joshua, as we're studying this morning. Lukewarmness could not have taken Canaan like Joshua. Lukewarmness does not care which way the church goes. That's called apathy. You've heard this before. I'll say it again. Say, one brother said to the other, do you know what's hurting the church today? And you know what he said? I don't know, and I don't care. He answered both of them. I don't know is ignorance. And the second one, I don't care, is apathy. That's the two things that are killing the church today. It's people who say, I don't know, and I don't care. What if Caleb and Joshua stood there with the other 10 and said, so what? And there wouldn't have been changes there, would it? What if people started lifting up stones? Oh, well, you know what? We're just joking. Let's go back over here with them, over there with the 10, you know. That's amazing. Lukewarmness will never be concerned about saving of souls. We spent a week with opportunities throughout a week of those that we could invite. Now, whether they came or not, that's completely up to them. But our job was to do what? Invite them to come. Be here with us. Study with us. Sing with us. We did our part. Caleb was certainly not a lukewarm man by any means. He wholly followed the Lord with strong convictions. Caleb was a man of faith and courage as well. He believed in God. He believed that they could take the land. You know, it wasn't just one of those things that you say, oh, we can do this. You know, he wasn't relying on physical strength, was he? We're talking about that last week as well. About the kings. About, you know, you're not supposed to have these alliances of the sort. You're supposed to trust where? In God. See, that's where a lot of people go wrong. The nations of itself go wrong in the days of old. Let us go up at once, he said in verse 30 of Numbers chapter 13. The Lord is with us. Fear them not, in chapter 14 and verse 9 of Numbers. That's not a man who's, well, I'm just kind of saying it, you know, kind of going through the motions here. We need men of that kind of faith like that today. We need that. We need women of faith like that today in the church. We must believe that we can take the world for Christ. He has said that He will be with us. You know, here's another thing. Can we say that what was mentioned there, as many times as Jesus told His disciples that you're going to go out there and you're going to preach the gospel. And guess what's going to happen? They're going to persecute you. They're going to afflict you. They're going to mock you. There's going to be horrible things that's going to happen to you. Jesus told them that, but yet still in their mind, they need to remember in Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20, He says, lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Even to the end of the age, He says, I'm going to be with you. That's amazing. How many times can I remember those things? That Paul, what he went through on a daily basis, it was not the pretty pictures. You go and you look in the book of Corinthians. He went through so much. How much would I have been able to take before I said, forget it, it's not worth it. I can't do this. But yet in the back of his mind, what was going on there? I am with you always. I am with you always. And he kept going until his death. He believed, obviously in that verse, be thou faithful unto death and thou shalt receive the crown of righteousness, because he mentioned it there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. We need to have the faith to go and teach the people the gospel of Christ. Caleb had added courage to faith. You know, in verse 9, only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Look at that. Look at what he says. Their defense is departed from them and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. I want you to imagine that you're in that crowd and you have him talking to you like that. Wouldn't that build you up? Thinking, man, listen at him. He believed it. He didn't go back going, these people are actually buying this. Can you believe it? I just want to see if they'd do it. No, that's not it. He realized that there was danger in taking the land. He knew the risk that was there, and he did not minimize the danger. But he was not afraid to go with God on his side. That was the thing. Neither should we be afraid to go. Is there danger for us today? Absolutely. The devil's opposed to what we are trying to do. Is there dangers in other countries today? I'll tell you what, you talk to those the Philippians, you know, the Philippines. It's amazing what they go through because they believe in the gospel of Christ, because they're teaching it. They believe it. They have strong convictions. They are men and women of faith and courage. And there's people that are just absolutely out to kill them. Kidnapping, even. If you've ever heard of stories of that, these individuals, though they're preaching the gospel, is absolutely amazing what they go through. The devil throws his darts at us and attempts to stop us in the work that we are doing. But we must be men and women of courage who will not be afraid to do God's will. Ephesians 6 and verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That's what he was doing. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. It's not just every once in a while, hit and miss here and there. That's not the way that we stand firm. That's not the way we have to be watchful. It has to be always, every day, not just once a week. We have to be add our courage to our faith. We have to have that foundation to build off of. Caleb was also a patient man. I will add to that. I want to submit to you that Caleb had to wait. Sometimes we don't really realize how important that really is in this whole thing here. He was 40 years of age. You remember? Okay? When he spied out the land of Canaan. Do you know how long he had to wait after that? He had to wait 40 more years before he was allowed to go into the promised land. Then it was 5 more years before he actually received his inheritance. He did not grow weary in his well-doing. Okay? Think about that. He did not grow weary in waiting. He did not show a resentful spirit. It would have been easy to resent the waiting. After all, it wasn't his fault, was it? Let's get to this natural man going here, right? Let's reason it out. It's not my fault. I was one of the two that stood up and, you know, said this and this and this. I had strong convictions, so forth and so on. But you know what? I'm being punished. I'm having to wait. I know people that have that kind of attitude. And I'm sure you do too. I just hope that one day that's not me saying that. That I'm not that person who is impatient with God. He went with them into the wilderness and he waited. Have we ever really thought that through? What was going on there? He did. Finally, he reaped his reward. He was allowed to enter the promised land and he received his allotment. He was just as strong at 85 as he was at the age of 40. I want you to think about that. That's amazing. Joshua chapter 14, verse 10, 11. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old, as yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. You think about Joshua. You think about them. What they were willing to put on the line for their lives. Physically. Galatians 6 and verse 9. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do what? If we faint not. If we don't give up, give in, and give out. Think about that. Patience is the ability to wait and endure without complaining. The rewards will come in due season. And last but not least, to present out there for us, is I'd be amiss if I didn't say that Caleb did not allow himself to be put on the shelf. He didn't allow that. Joshua 14 and verse 10 again. The Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word to Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. 85 years. 85. He requested Hebron, where the giants live, where the hill was. Okay? That's what he requested. He was strong in the faith, as we noted. And I want you to notice something else in verse 12. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. See, there's that thus saith the Lord that we were talking about in Bible class this morning, wasn't it? How many times is that missing from the pulpits today? In the personal lives. Thus saith the Lord. As the Lord said, we too must not allow ourselves to be put on the shelf. We should grow more useful in the church. We should become strong in the faith. We should grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, it says in the book of Peter. We should be more useful to the church the older we get. Because there really is no retirement in 401k plan here on this earth, is there, for Christianity? It's not. Some of the most successful people in the Bible have been the older ones. Think about this as we close. I appreciate your kind attention this morning. Caleb is a man worthy of application. We talked about he wholly followed the Lord. He had strong conviction. He was not lukewarm. He was a man of faith and courage. He was a patient man. He did not allow himself to be put on a shelf. I want to ask ourselves this morning, do we have the spirit of Caleb? Are we noted as being different and peculiar, that we have a different spirit? And the last thing I want to present to you in this, that only Caleb and Joshua received the land. Take your minds there, Numbers 32, verse 11 and 12. Surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not done what? Wholly followed me. Save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. Boy, that's an amazing account right there. They received the inheritance. You know what? We will receive the inheritance if we fully follow the Lord too. The 10 spies died in the plague. They died. Numbers 14, verse 37. Even those men that did bring up the evil report upon the land died by the plague before the Lord. Verse 38 of Numbers 14. But Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of the men that went to search the land, lived still. Chris used Numbers Sunday morning. You remember that? In that of Nehemiah, he says, are you a, remember, 90 or are you a 52? Remember? I'm going to do that. I'm going to use that. I can't use 90 and 52 in this sense. But are we of the 10 or are we of the 2? Which one do we belong to? Which one do we side with? I hope that we can say that we are of the 2. When things get tough, that we keep on keeping on. We mentioned there earlier in our scriptures, as you get your psalm books ready, what we mentioned at the beginning about the spirit of Caleb and about the encouragement that he gave the people in verses 30 and 31 of Numbers chapter 13. But Numbers 14 is what I would tell you. He reported that Joshua and Caleb said that the land that they spied out is an exceedingly good land. We read of a land in the Bible that's an exceedingly good land. It's one that even Abraham was searching for. A city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Remember that in Hebrews 11? If the Lord delights in us, is what he said, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people, for they are our bread. Their protection had departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them. That is exactly what Christ was saying during his time upon this earth. I want us to fit into that passage right there this morning. If the Lord delights in us, he will bring us that land and give it to us. I go to prepare a place for you. Paul said, not for me only, but for all those who love his parents. Do we love his parents? Do we have the spirit likened to that of Caleb? Have we put on the body of Christ in baptism? Have we fallen into the sense of the 10 versus that of the 2? If so, my friends, we need to make that right this morning. As we come, as we stand and sing a song that's been selected.
things already.